Greetings all in Jesus' name. It's good to be here this morning with you all here. We're looking forward to this time. Didn't know how all the plans were going to go, but we made it. I was blessed by the service. Thus far, the devotion Steve had and Sunday school lesson and also the devotion. Thank you for the prayer. Because without God, we're nothing. And that's why we gather here this morning. I was impressed also how the Lord has been directing the service and the songs we sang and what the Lord has laid on my heart. Also bring you greetings from Blue Ridge. And also from we were over Friday visiting Dan and Marty. And we bring greetings to you from them. They've been doing well. He's taking some treatments, mainly IVs, but his spirit seemed, he's in a very nice facility, and he seems to be doing quite well. In the Sunday school lesson, thinking of that last question, I also was reflecting on what the New Testament tells us to do, and what the psalmist tells us to do. He says, praise is going to be continually in my mouth. Is that what the world sees, my praise? Praising the Creator. As we came across Arizona there ain't too much green. But you know what? There's beautiful things along the way. We've seen yellow flowers. We've seen wildlife. We've seen this, that, and the other thing. Things that God made. This morning, going around with Lauren there, seeing birds. And this morning, as I was still looking into the Word, I got a text from Glenn. He said, make sure you take the sunrise. If he would have said that, I would have stayed in the room and I wouldn't even went out. But got to enjoy the sunrise, a gift that only God can give. And I was blessed by that. This morning, I want to look at something I feel we were looking at throughout morning thus far. I would like to think about reflectors this morning a little bit, or reflections. Definition of reflections is to bend or cast back. It's to give back in likeness, an image of a mirror. And we all used that this morning, most likely. We all took time to look in a mirror, see what we would look like, make ourselves presentable. Reflect is also means to bring as a result. Another definition is to cast reproach or a blame. To reflect. So we use all kinds of reflectors where there's those ones we enjoy, and there's also those that we, even the definition says, those that we don't really care to focus on. Think of sound. Sound reflects. Think of light. Light reflects. As we grow older, there's times we have to cup our hand over our ears so the sound reflects. Recently, we took our children to a science center, and they had two dishes. They were probably 7 foot tall at opposing ends of the room, and the domes faced each other. And you could stand within 3 foot of that, and the person could whisper, and you could hear because of the reflection. Everything with the sound was channeled into those dishes. Think of lights. What good would all the roads, the signs we see along the road, and the reflectors that are on the yellow line, the white line? What good would they be without a light? They show us where to go. Driving at night, I don't know if you have fog down here or not, but up north there's times it's foggy and misty, and you're concentrating on the road. You're just watching that next reflector. It's for our safety. Or traveling down the highway, a truck sitting beside the road. Sometimes containers don't have the best reflectors. Up there in Pennsylvania, it's by law you have to have so many of those red and white reflectors on. Mexico, I don't think you need them, but there's some buses down there that have quite a few. But it's for safety. It's for a purpose. And we need to heed those signs when we're concentrating and going through life. Also, recently at school, we were visiting school, and I was amazed how often the teacher took the students to a previous lesson. Remember, reflecting back what they learned just a couple days before. The one was an English class, and those fourth graders, fifth graders were learning stuff I don't remember, but they had the answers. I guess it was in the seventh graders, the teacher was asking questions. What was the lesson about a few days ago? And instantly they had it. They're reflecting back. It was riveting in their minds what they had learned. This morning I'd like to look at three different areas, thinking of reflections. There's a source, and then there's a reflector, the object that reflects, and then there's a purpose. Why? And Brother Sim touched on that there in his devotions, on the purpose. It needs to be, well, we'll get to that. So what good is a reflector without a source? Whether it's light, whether it's sound, whether it's heat. It's useless. So it is in our spiritual life. There's many powers that are bidding our attention. They're beckoning us to tap into their resources of life, their way. You want to become somebody. You want to get somewhere in life. And you may be able to accomplish that. We always touched on the Sunday morning, being dishonest and shady in business life. It's beckoning. No one else will know. It's a source. But we as God's people know the two energies, these two sources. 1 John 2:15 through 17 reminds us of these two sources. Very familiar verses here. The one is, of course, our Lord Jesus, and the other is the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Verse 16 reminds us of the latter part that reminds us of the two forces. The Father and the world. And we all know this world is becoming cold and dark. Seems like as years go by, every year people seem bent more on themselves and the evil that's around us. And we know behind it is the devil. He is that deceiver. The one that says you will find fulfillment. You will find your who you are. And he's driving people deeper and deeper into sin. They're paying attention to the wrong source. These three areas in verse 15, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is something that our carnal nature craves. It's something that we have to put off. It's something that we have to walk away from. We have to turn our backs to. In our own strength, we're not able to do that. We have to ask Jesus to come into our heart, to cleanse us from our evil ways, and focus on his teaching. The devil would like to deceive us. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15. Verse 14 reads, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." There's times that it seems as we hear something or we the thought comes into our mind. It sounds like a good idea, and we entertain that thought. But as we think about it more, something just don't sound right. And we study the scripture, or scripture comes to our mind and say, we know we can't do that. But at first thought, it sounds like a good idea. The deceiver, the devil, wants to sidetrack us on our own, in our own carnality, in our own selfishness. We need to live careful lives, holy lives. And I believe if we do these three things, we can avoid being deceived. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father... Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Here we see, I read the wrong verses. Yeah, I was in chapter 3. Chapter 4, 1 to 3. Behold, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby know we the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Trying the spirit. And this is something that we personally have to take and do. We can't expect to pick up where our parents were, where our church leader, I trust they are teaching the truth. But I personally have to embrace this and put this into my life. Another area is, it talks about false prophets in this chapter, or in those verses there. Our first impression of someone, of a speaker, it may be whoever, a smooth talker can be deceptive. We need to do as it is taught in Acts 17, verse 11. These are more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Here we see a group of people who are willingly picking up the word of God personally and studying it. So when the words came to them, they weren't easily swayed. They weren't listening to smooth talkers or someone who could sway the crowd, or they had it personally in their life. And also, being deceived or being led astray by the wrong source is just their lifestyle. Is it consistent with the Bible, as in Matthew 12? Matthew 12, 33-37. Either make a tree good, that his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, but an evil man out of an evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So does the lifestyle of those we are following, of those who we are listening to, of those who we are forming our opinions of, is it consistent with the word of God? A person's words or actions speak much more than the things they said. So God help us as we consider the source of how we were taught. I believe each one of us here has been taught through the scripture. And as the world is becoming more evil and how we so readily want to pamper our own lives and the impressions other people leave on us, let's consider the source. Is it of God? Or is it of something else? Secondly, let's look at the reflectors. Simple thing of the reflection, that object that's reflecting the source. Again, this is something I personally will decide for my life. Our parents, my parents couldn't make me choose to be the reflector. They've taught me. They wanted to make me to make the right choices. Church leaders cannot make you be that reflector. You must want to personally become that reflector. And there's no one going through life that's not reflecting someone. We can't go through life neutral and not reflect some kind of source. I decide what I want to reflect. And I also decide which way I want to cast my reflection. This morning, who do I want to be accepted by? Who do I want to be friends with? Who do I want to be thought well of? We talk about peer pressure so often. We think about young people of peer pressure. But you know what? Us middle-aged people can also have faced peer pressure. I don't want to stand up. I don't want to. What will other people think? And they think this way of me already. I'll just be quiet. Peer pressure. But I choose where that reflection goes. Is Christianity popular? Is true Christianity popular? Is being a Christian a cool thing? I was often reminded of this. 20 years ago, there was that saying where you could see it on necklaces and bumper stickers, and everybody was doing this WWJD. I often think of that. Many of those people, my friends and things, who were very vocal or not vocal, displaying it in many different ways, T-shirts and you name it, and where they're at today. Was it because it was a cool thing? Was it because the world around us was just the thing to do? But their fruit, their actions, their life today speak something different than that. What would Jesus do? John 16, 17 through 18. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, "What is it that he saith unto us? A little while, and we shall see, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to my Father." Now that ain't the right. I wrote the wrong verse down. It's not. But I was thinking of the verse where it says, where God said, "They will hate you because they hated me." Is that where we find ourselves this morning? Does the world, as we reflect the light of Jesus, as we reflect the light of what he has done for us, sim touchdown devotions, is it making the world around us feel uncomfortable, feel guilt? Feel shame? And as we're around the people of God, it's encouraging we think of that, I can ever, so often I can have the right thoughts. I want to know what kind of reflector I want to be. I know what kind of, how I want to approach a person. But the time can come when I meet the individual. I thought of that during grain harvest this year with a few local farmers. I work at a feed mill there, and a few local farmers would come in and, yeah, I got to say something, you know, next time they come in. But it don't, I can have all these conversations in my mind, but it don't benefit nothing unless I speak. That reflecting that Jesus is something that they need to get a hold of. And he's just looking for ordinary people like you and I to be that reflector. He's not looking for some, just a front bench to be that reflector. I thought of Gideon there in the Old Testament. An ordinary person was just trying to make a living, do some thrashings on the backside of, in the wine, I think on the, in the, at the wine press he was thrashing. God came to him and spoke to him in a powerful way. It was a miracle there with the offering he brought. And then he had the soldiers, he numbered them or got a bunch together, the comfort of the multitude. And then God says, too many people. And he thinned it down and it was still too many people. I don't know how Gideon felt, thinking that, you know what, it only ended up with 300 men to go fight the Midianites. But God was using Gideon. He was showing that he was going to get the praise and the glory for the victory of that battle. And they went and fought. They had them trumpets or the pitchers and the torches and the shouting. We know how that battle was won, how they fled before him, before 300 people. I can't remember how big that army of the Midianites were. But it was the army of the Lord and of Gideon. It wasn't Gideon's army alone. Gideon was reflecting something far more powerful than he was, and far more glorious than anything he could accomplish. How would it have been if Gideon would have took the Lord out of it? The world knows when we are living for ourselves. The world knows, can see when we're doing what pleases me. When my interests are being fulfilled, when I'm satisfied with where I'm at, even though I've been taught all my life long, growing up in a scriptural church, and you know we know God's the giver of all good gifts, and the Lord's been good for us, He blessed the labors of our hands, and but am I holding it to myself? Or am I giving God the praise, that reflector, pointing things to God? Am I setting my affections on the things of this world, or is it of God? What's taking my interest? This can come down to very everyday practical things. My appearance. Am I concerned with what the world sees? Am I concerned with how they accept me? The words I speak, my actions. I'm sure you all know of people whose language changes from one group of people to another. And I think of that with some acquaintance I know. Depends where they're at. It depends how they talk. And it can sound so right, but then it can sound so corrupt. Like the verse we read. This tree, the fruit we bear, or what comes out of my life, it's what's inside. Is it full of self? Do my words betray who I am? We have a dear little 2-year-old at home who is full of himself. He either wants what his brother has or he either don't want to share what he has. He gets upset pretty easy. And he's very aggressive. He's 2 years old. And by God's help, I believe we can help. we're endeavoring to help that. But how often is it in us older ones? We can justify so many of these very same carnal natures that's bound up in that two-year-old. It's selfishness. Every child is born with that. I know he's 2 years old, but it's bound in his heart to really worry about one person, that's himself. And he's not afraid to reflect that. It's mine. Like I said, that nature needs to be conquered at a young age, because there's many of us who know older people, adults, whose characteristics are much the same. We read about, like, Sunday school lesson there. There was selfishness, carnality. It's reflecting who they are. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is that what my life? Is that the testimony of my life? Seeking the kingdom of God first. Our lives will either point one of two ways. Either it's going to point to myself or to others. Which is going to have the better life around me? It can't have both. And God will meet the needs and the desires of the one if we do the other. If our focus is like a two-year-old, that's probably all we will have, ourselves. It'll be an empty life. But if we love to do what Jesus taught, if I love those around me and love to do things that satisfy them, it's so much bigger. The world becomes a beautiful place. Life is fulfilling. But again, it's a choice of what my nature is going to reflect. Read sometime Matthew 5 through chapter 5 through chapter 7. Jesus teaches very plain, very practical ways where we can live that out on others. Many of them are very, they go right against our nature. But by the power of God, we can reflect what he has taught. To love others the way he loved me. Jesus taught that. How easy is it to love myself? How easy is it to love others? For myself to love others. I cannot forget how much God has loved me. Imperfect me. And I'm sure each of us can put our name in there. The imperfection. How we say, oh Lord, forgive me, I did this. And God forgive me, I did that. But when someone does something against us, something that hurt, can we forgive them the same way? How do I view the world and those around me? Do I view myself as superior to those around me? Or do I endeavor to be as Jesus, being a friend to the poor, to the lame, to the blind, to the outcast? This is who Jesus came to this earth for. Those who at the end of themselves had nothing, no hope. Are those the people that I love? Like I said, that's where we find true fulfillment. When we meet the needs to the same people that Jesus walked with and endeavored to help. It's like that song, right? That song goes about, it's that well of living water. There's no limit. There's no bounds. It's that abundant supply. And only God can give that to us as we reflect his image. Coming across the desert there, in Arizona. This reflection thing was going through my mind. I never knew there was so much glass in a desert going along interstate there. It was a constant shimmer of, I guess it was glass. I took for granted it was glass. But as God looks down from heaven, as he looks at sunshine here, as he looks around wherever you're from this morning, does he see that sparkle? That there's a reflector of my image down there. Does it bring that joy? Is it that perfume that ascends up to him? These little lights, these little shimmers, these little sparkles. It's true beauty to our Lord. And again, thirdly, the purpose is to reflect that true light. Jesus wants us to be the light to the world. He wants us to warn, to guide, and direct. Same as those reflectors along the highway. It's to warn. There's a turn coming. There in Mexico, they didn't have reflectors. They actually had little LED lights in the road, and they were constantly blinking. But you've seen the white line, the white LEDs, and you've seen the yellow LEDs. But it was winding down through inside the city. But it was easy to see where you were supposed to be. And that's what we are here today for. To reflect the true light. We have to have confidence and have it rooted in our own heart that it is the true light. We need to take the word of God and apply it. And it will radiate from our life. We need to teach it to the next generation. It's something I think that grows on each of us as we have little ones growing older. And you hear the older ones telling us, you know, the time's so short. They grow up so fast. Teaching our children about that true light. The real purposes of life, it's more than just about me. It's about the world around us, meeting their needs, reaching out. Following Jesus' commands, as in Matthew 5:14. Teaching by example. It's hard to give something that we do not have. And the ultimate purpose that those around us may find Jesus. So this morning, as we go from this place, continue to be that little light that shimmers, that shines, that sparkles, that radiates God's beauty and his personality to this world around you. That it may be said of us the same way it was said of his disciples, that they've been with Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer.